Today is the fourth Sunday, and most of you know that we'll be having our fellowship dinner after the service, and we encourage you to stay. If you're visiting or you forgot, just stay anyhow. There'll be enough, and you are welcome. And this is always a good time just to meet informally over a meal, get a chance to talk to people that you don't normally see, you don't normally meet. And so we would encourage you to stay with us for the fellowship dinner. And then when you go home, after the dinner, as you are driving home, would you take a moment and pray for the pastoral search committee? We'll be meeting right after the dinner. A number of us who are on the committee will be meeting. And we just need your prayers, and I trust that this is an everyday prayer, that the Lord would bring to our attention the right man, somebody out there. He may not know it yet, even, but somebody out there is the man to come here. And so we need to be aware. We have several items of business to conduct today. And so we would ask you to pray for the committee as we meet right after the fellowship dinner. And then just add it to your regular prayer list, that the Lord would bring us to the attention of some man and bring him to our attention, and so that we could be involved in that process of bringing the right person here for this pulpit. We are glad you're here, and trust that the service will be a blessing. We want to talk about what Margaret was playing at the beginning of the service, "The Lord is My Shepherd." We want to talk about some of the aspects of that and trust it'll be a blessing to you. We'll ask Chris to come and lead us now.
Good morning. If you'll take your hymnals and stand, we want to start this morning with number 262. Holy, holy, holy. Number 262.
Shall rise.
a prayer. Dear Lord, we come to you today and we are thankful. Thankful for the way that you deal with us, and thankful for the people that you give us to fellowship with here. We pray that you would bless this service and as we study your word and as we sing your praises. We pray this in your name. Amen. Turn back now to number 97. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Number 97. And turn to the back of your hymnals, number 695. And number 695 is Psalm 23, and we're going to read that in unison together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And we'll turn back to number 50. We're going to sing a paraphrase of that same psalm. The Lord's My Shepherd, number 50. Thank you. You may be seated. If you want to turn to John 10, Ron is going to come and read our scripture for the day.
I'll be reading John 10, 1 through 18. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to kill, and to steal, and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and have known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Lord, we thank you for Jesus, your Son, our Shepherd. And I just pray that as John comes this morning, you'd help us to lay aside all the cares, everything that would distract us from this busy life. Help us to focus on your Word, and to take things from it here today that would help us out there in that busy world. Thank you for John, and we ask you to really guide him as he shares with us today, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
it's appropriate that they played Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us after we sang all of those, or read Psalm 23. Find it here eventually. Okay, number 46. If you'll stand and take your hymnals. We want to sing God Leads Us Along, number 46.
Dismiss the children to children's church at this time. And while they're going out, if you would please turn to John chapter 10, passage that Ron read for us this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truths of what we have read and have sung this morning. We echo the prayer of the number that was played for us. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. But we thank you that you are our shepherd, that we shall not be in want of anything. And I pray as we look at this passage that we might be refreshed and encouraged by some very familiar truths, perhaps some very old truths for some of us, but certainly precious as we see your care for us. Father, I just pray that you would open our hearts, open our eyes, And perhaps especially today for some, open their ears that they might hear your voice. Teach us from your word, we pray now in your name. Amen. If we fall into the habit of using a lot of I and me in our conversations, people soon kind of fade away and get the idea we're self-centered. And so in our society, we've developed ways to get around that. Just not polite to talk about yourself all the time. I am this and I am that. We don't want to be self-centered. We don't want to be egocentric. Just not acceptable. But in the Gospel of John, the one thing you find out, at least one of the things we find out about the Lord, is he's not bashful about talking about himself. He is perhaps, in that sense, the most self-centered person we will ever meet. But rightly so, because we've sung about his deity and we've sung about his worth. His I and me statements are the way we learn about him. He doesn't talk in general, and he doesn't talk in the third person. He just says, I am, I am. I am the bread of life. I am living water. I am the light of the world. I am my Father's Son. He has sent me. All these I and me statements, that's the way we learn about the Lord. It's not some removed theology. And if we get one thing out of the Gospel of John, is John is presenting Jesus Christ as though just standing right in front of us and talking to us and saying, hey, listen, this is what I am. See? And in chapter 10, we come up with some other I am statements. And the one that we mostly focus on in chapter 10 is the I am the good shepherd. And the figure of a shepherd seems to be, really, not from personal experience. When you're raised in Chicago, you do not know about shepherds. I mean, it's not like we see it every day. But yet, something about the shepherd strikes a chord in us. It seems perhaps more personal than, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. They're kind of big things. But I am the good shepherd. Somehow seems really, really personal. It's a statement of the care that God has for us. See, it just somehow is a good one. And we read Psalm 23, one of the most well-known passages, and certainly one of the most well-known verses. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I mean, that just somehow resonates, if you will. I mean, that means something. See? Or Isaiah 40, verse 11, and Christmas is coming up right after we get done with Labor Day . But Isaiah 40, he shall lead his flock like a shepherd. He'll carry the lambs in his arms. He'll gently lead those who are with young. That's a picture that we can all relate to, even if we've never seen a real live shepherd in our life. See? And perhaps it's because we really relate to being sheep. And I know you hear a lot about how dumb sheep are and how needy they are. I mean, that's not a good biblical view of ourselves. Sheep and a shepherd is a relationship, very special. See, we'll get to that. He's the good shepherd. Not all shepherds are good. And you can read, especially in the Old Testament, about bad shepherds. And you read in Jeremiah, and you read especially something like Ezekiel chapter 34, and it's just a scathing denunciation of those shepherds who are out for themselves and they don't care for the sheep. See, above all else, a shepherd is to care for the sheep. And these evil shepherds and bad shepherds are just out for themselves. See? And so when you think of shepherd, you need to think of, we don't need just a shepherd, we need a good shepherd, see. And God promises us, at least prophetically, a good shepherd. Because in Ezekiel 34, after he just destroys the evil shepherds, he says, I'll give you, see. I will set over my people one shepherd, see. My servant David, and we can relate that to Christ, and he will feed them. He will feed them himself. See? And he will be their shepherd. And maybe this and the background of chapter 9, where you have religious leaders who are dedicated to destroying people, and then you have these passages in an Old Testament that talk about God will intervene and supply a shepherd who will take care of them. Maybe that's the background for coming into John chapter 10. And John chapter 10, especially the passage that Ron read, if you caught, at least twice he says, truly, truly, or verily, verily. This is important. See, this chapter is important. He wants us to pay close attention because he doesn't always start out everything he says with truly, truly, or verily, verily, see. But he does this chapter, and it's something that says, hey, listen up. You need to know this chapter, see. And the setting is a common one to his day. We don't relate to it too much, but it's a common one. At the end of the day, the shepherds from a village would gather the flocks together, perhaps, and put them in some kind of an enclosure. And it was an enclosure for protection, maybe a little bit of protection from the elements, a driving wind or something like that. But for sure, protection against the predators, against thieves, against things that would harm them. And so this group of sheep is gathered in, and this enclosure would have a door, obviously. One door. One way to get in, one way to get out. They wouldn't have 13 or 14 different ways. See? And it's possible to get in to there by some other way. If a thief was clever enough or a band of thieves was strong enough, they could tear down the wall and get in, or they could climb over the wall and get in. See? But if they did that, they would be identified immediately as thieves and robbers. They would not be legitimate. But the ones, verse 2, who use the door by virtue of going through the door would be legitimate. See? And he belonged there because his sheep were inside. See? And that's the setting for this. See? And so here you have the sheep and a door, and the door is guarded by a porter or a guard or one of the shepherds on a rotating basis, a watchman of some sort. See? In verse 3, the shepherd has come and he's identified himself to the doorkeeper. And the details are kind of, don't worry about who's, you know, it's just a picture. See? And there's this mob of sheep. And the shepherd separates his sheep out. And it's interesting, he doesn't do it by brands. He doesn't do it by ear tags or something. See? He does it by just calling them. Just saying, however he does it, you know. I would say, come. He, you know. And he'd say, come and call him by name. Had a friend down in Ozark, had a herd of cows, and he knew them by their ear tag, but he'd say, there's old number 88. Okay. And they say, that's number 119. You know, I mean, he didn't have names for them, but he had numbers for them. The shepherd would call his sheep by name. Think about that. How does he tell the difference between sheep? They all look the same to me, right? They all look the same to you, probably. And he says, hey, there's Charlie. There's Hubert. And there's, you know. Calls them by name. He knows every one of them. And the most amazing thing is when he says, hey, come. See? They come. He doesn't have to, you know, they know his voice, and when he calls them, they come out of this. There's several flocks, maybe. There's a whole bunch of sheep, and they're all mixed up. And when he starts calling, come, 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 out of this whole, they come because they know his voice. And he leads them out. And he goes before them. And now in America we get, and maybe it's our personality, right? And over in Europe, maybe it's because we're Europe, we have the same personality, right? We have sheepdogs. Now think about that. We love to see these little border collies working sheep. And they bark and they nip and they bite and they jump and they just run and run and run. And they're behind the sheep, pushing them, making them move that way so that they don't get nipped on their heels or just get away from that thing that's barking behind me and just, you know. The shepherd says, come. And he just starts walking and looks over his shoulder and hears his sheep following him. I mean, is there a more peaceful setting that you can imagine? And they know his voice, verse 4 says. And verse 5 says, there's no danger of a mix-up. There's no danger of them getting lost or being picked up by a stranger. See? It says, a stranger they simply will not follow. And I don't know what your version says, but that is as strong in Greek as you can possibly get. They will never. Ume, the two negatives, really strong. They will never follow a stranger. That's just not what his sheep do. They follow him, and he's walking ahead, and regardless of the calls and the influences from other people, they will never. See, they run from strangers. They do not know the voice of strangers. And it works. It works. No clubs, no whips, no ropes, no collars, no brands, no sheepdogs, no. Just he calls them by name and walks ahead of them, and they know his voice, and they follow him, and there's nothing on the side or behind them that can attract them away. That's a neat figure. Well, he's saying this, and the religious leaders at this particular place, probably the same ones in chapter 9, what in the world is he talking about? See, they didn't understand those things which he had been saying to them. You know, what is he doing? So, second time around, right? Truly, truly, I say to you, you don't understand the general picture. Let me get specific. See? You don't understand the picture of the enclosure and the door and the doorkeeper and the sheep and the shepherd and that whole thing. Let me get specific. I, Jesus, am the door. I'm the way in. I'm the way out. See? I am the, in the figure that he just gave us, I am the only legitimate way in and out. There may be some other ways over and in and through, but they're illegitimate. I am the door. See? If the sheep are going to come in, it's through me. If they're going out, it's through me. And everybody else in the world, everybody who came before me and professed to be dealing with the sheep is a thief or a robber. Now, that's not politically correct, right? That's really exclusive and very narrow, is it not? And inside, your little head's shaking, yes, but I mean, that is narrow. I am the door. See? The legitimate door. The one door. See? If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. See? For a sheep to be delivered and saved is probably not exactly a spiritual term here, although we can always have that context. It's just in the figure. It's how are they delivered? How are they preserved? How are their needs being met? See? It's through the door. See? And when they go out through me or come in through me, they are saved. See? They find pasture where they need to be to live. Everybody else is a thief and a robber, and a thief comes to kill and to destroy. To take those sheep and to use them for his own advantage, even to the destruction of the sheep, and he gets something out of it. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. See? And my purpose in being here, verse 10, my purpose for my sheep is to not destroy them, not to kill them. See? My purpose is so that the sheep can have life. See? Not death, but life. And they'll have abundant life. If you like to mark in your Bible, that's your verse. One of your verses. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. See? One commentary I was reading just talks about how do you describe an abundant life? Okay. And he says, it's life at its scarcely imagined best. In other words, you can't even begin to imagine how good he will give you life. See? Life at its scarcely imagined best. And just as an aside, don't ever water it down to money or to health or to a house or a job or a car. Don't lower it to something, see, and say, well, that's really living. See, it is just so much higher. And you have to believe that verse. That's why the Lord came. To give life to his sheep and to give abundant life to his sheep. And you have to, you must believe that if you read this passage, you must believe that your life today is good. Some of you struggle with that. See? Some of you say, yeah, but. See? And that's Christians always have that, yeah, but, right? I believe that in principle, but, see, not in my life. And there's no principle that's not in your life. He came to his sheep to give life and to give it abundantly. And you need to believe that your life today, right now, with all its circumstances, whatever they are, and some of them are pretty rough in different ways, and I know that, but you have to believe your life is abundant, scarcely imagined best. See? I am the good shepherd. See? I am the good shepherd. And that word for good is not only attractive, but excellent. Unobjectionable. There's nothing wrong with him. See? And I'm okay as a sheep because my shepherd is the good shepherd. See? Have to believe that. See, I'm okay. The thing that makes the shepherd so good is not what he gives you. Like I say, don't ever lower it to health and wealth and prosperity and success and something and say, God is so good, look at my house. God is so good, look at how I feel. See? I am the good shepherd, and what makes me so good is I lay down my life for the sheep. He lays down his life on behalf of, or for the benefit of, the sheep. That's what makes him good. He gives his life on behalf of the sheep. See? He's not a hireling. He's not just doing a job. He's not just there. See? Danger comes or tough circumstances come. The wolf comes and the hireling cuts out because he doesn't care. And the sheep can be scattered and the sheep can be destroyed and the sheep can be just killed. He doesn't care. But the good shepherd, see, the good shepherd, cares. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd and I know my own and my own know me. There's a relationship between the shepherd and his own, see. And the most amazing verses are is verse 15, where in 14 he says, I know my own and my own know me, just like it is between me and the Father. Do you ever wonder about the relationship between God the Father and God the Son in the Trinity? That inner Trinitarian knowledge, that relationship between them. And then you read verse 14 and you say, that's the relationship between me and my shepherd. I don't understand that verse. See? How can I know Christ and have him know me in the same way that the Father and the Son know each other? See? That's a mystery. But that's life at its unimagined best. That's abundant life in that relationship. See, at some point in time, see, verse 17 and 18, we'd skip 16 for a moment. At some point in time, if you can say a time in eternity, see, but the Father had a purpose and a plan and a determination. See, at Acts chapter 4 talks about the predetermined plan of God that Christ would die. And at some point in time, he determined that. The Father did. And at that time, the Son said, I will, see. And that sets up this relationship, not just the being, the three in one being in the Trinity, but the relationship between the Father and the Son. For this reason, verse 17 says, the Father loves me because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. See, I just do that, verse 18 says. Nobody tells me to do it. Nobody compels me to do it. I just do that. See, I die for the sheep. That's the good shepherd. That's the good shepherd. I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And I do it by the process of giving my life for the sheep. Now, that's just general speaking. Verse 16 makes it very personal. Not just a warm and fuzzy picture. And don't have that picture that some of you have at home with the Lord as a shepherd and a little lamb and a crook and all that, a lamb on his. Don't do that. See? Because he's not dealing with that lamb on his shoulders and wants you to think of him carrying that sheep. See? Talking about you. Talking about me. See? I have other sheep which are not of this fold. See? There's more than just David who says, the Lord is my shepherd. There's more than just the Jews, the nation to which he came. See? Romans 1:16 talks about the gospel, which is for the Jews first, but also for the Gentiles. See? I have other sheep that are not of this fold. He's talking to Jews there and saying, you guys are, this people is my fold, if you will, and these are my sheep, but I have other sheep. See? And verse 16 says, I must bring them also. Must bring them. That's, that again, that's a word of compulsion. It's a word of necessity. He has to bring them. See? He is compelled to bring them. That's his overwhelming purpose in it, bringing others in. See? And he has the sheep. He just has to bring them in. He doesn't go out and make sheep. He goes out and brings them in because he has them already. And we'll get to that later in the chapter. You might just put a little asterisk here and say, read John chapter 6 again. All those that the Father gives me will come. See, there's something going on. See, he's not wondering who's out there. Other sheep I have, I guess. I think there are some out there. See, maybe there are some out there. He says, no, I have other sheep out there. It's my purpose to bring them. See, and don't get, you know, we'll get to that in the rest of the chapter. See, they will hear my voice. See. And if you wonder what the Lord is doing in this chapter, he's just calling names. See? He's calling names of his sheep. And they will hear his voice, and they will come, and there'll be one flock with the ones who are already there. And you can read Ephesians about the one new man and the fellow partakers and the fellow heirs and all that stuff. He's bringing his sheep together by calling them by name. And all I'll say to some of you struggling with that is it's amazing that the concept of that is supposed to be so precious to us is the one that causes us so much trouble. See? Him calling us by name. See? But that's what he's doing. He's calling. In 1969, he called me by name. See, by name. He said, John, come. See. And maybe some of you can remember when he called you by name. See. It wasn't just, hey, anybody out there? See. It's you. Come. He's the good shepherd. He gives his life for his sheep. And it's the process of giving life and giving life abundantly, see, to specific people, not just sheep, to you by name. That's the import of these verses. That when you say, the Lord is my shepherd, you're not thinking about anybody else. You're thinking about yourself. Because he called you by name. See? And he's the good shepherd. And when you come, he calls you. And when you come, he says, here is abundant life through me. Through me. That's just a neat chapter. But it only is good when it applies to me. And it's perhaps one of the most personal chapters in all of the Gospel of John, because he's talking about his individual people, not just people, me and you individually. And I trust as we talk our way through, you can say, yeah, I heard his voice. I remember. He called me, and I came. See? And then you can say, and I was given life because he died. And I have life abundantly, unimagined best life. See? Because he's the good shepherd. And I hope this chapter, this at least thus far, just causes you to be extremely personal with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can say, he is not only the good shepherd, but he is my good shepherd. See? When I was in seminary, I worked in a machine shop. Some real rough guys. Just really rough guys. You wouldn't believe the stories we could tell. One guy stood in front of me one day and said, you know, I'm afraid to go to sleep at night because I fear that I'll die and face God in the judgment. And I said, Don, maybe, I said, what are you waiting for? Why don't you receive Christ? Place your trust in Christ. He says, I'm waiting for him to call me. I'm waiting for him to call me. And I said, do you think, perhaps right now, he's calling you? Well, he kind of shook his head and went back to work. And but we need ears. We need ears to hear the Lord calling us. And perhaps even today, there's somebody here that for maybe the first time out of the hubbub of the whole world, and it is loud, see, and you haven't heard any voice yet, see. They're just strangers and thieves and robbers, and all of a sudden you hear, come, see. By name, not just y'all come, see. It's come. And maybe today you come to the Good Shepherd through the door, the way. And by faith in Him, you have life, and you have it more abundantly than you can even imagine for all eternity. I trust you understand that the Lord is a Good Shepherd today. He really is. And that He is your Good Shepherd as well. Let's pray. Father, we are just grateful for the voice that we have heard. The voice that of Jesus Christ, our Shepherd, who said, "Come." And I pray that we might understand that. And for those of us who are believers, who have placed their faith in Christ, who have come, I pray that we might rejoice in the life that we have. And Father, if there are some here who by name are hearing the Lord call, saying, "Come," I pray that today they would come, that they might also have life at its scarcely imagined best. Thank you today for our Good Shepherd. And for those of us who are believers, I thank you that each one of us can say, "Thank you, Lord, for my Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ." Cause us to think deeply about our relationship to Him today. We pray in His name. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to your Bibles. Well, that's okay. You can sing this one by memory anyhow. Number 461. This is the Song of Sheep. "He leads me, O blessed thought. O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me." A song of sheep following the Lord. Let's stand, please. We'll sing all three verses of 461. And then, Steve, would you come and close in prayer, please?
Wherever close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so very thankful that we have a good shepherd, that we have the great shepherd of our souls, the Lord Jesus, who died for the sheep. We thank you for the promise that we can have life in you, and that you will lead us no matter the storms of life, no matter where life would take us. By your faithful hand, you lead us. And we are grateful for that. And Father, I pray today that if there are those here that are not your sheep, that have not as of yet heard your voice, that today you would speak, that they may hear and respond to you by faith. And now, Father, we thank you for the blessing of your gifts, the gift of food that you give us. We thank you for it. We thank you for a time of fellowship that we can have around the table. Bless our day. Bless the time we have. In Jesus' name, amen.